Tonight we're going to talk about freedom from decrease, from disadvantage, from failure, from loss, from stagnation, from restriction, from poverty, and from poorness. All those things. We're free from all of them. Now, that is because the will of God is increase. The will of God is not disadvantage. The will of God is favor.
Yeah.
The will of God is not failure. The will of God is success. The will of God is not loss, but the will of God is gain or profit in your lives.
Yeah.
The will of the Lord is for us to not to be restricted, amen, but to be enlarged.
Yeah.
Having and gaining momentum continuously in our walk with God, advancing in our own walk with Him, and together advancing the kingdom of God. Our God is not poor. He is not the author of poverty. He is God of prosperity. When you think of poor, when you think of poorness, you have to take a look at the fact that Jesus, yes, He was made poor, but in order that you through His poverty might be rich. So I think it's okay for us to say that we're rich according to the Word.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I think we ought to say it three times. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. So, you know, basically we're going to be looking at freedom from lack. Freedom from lack, okay? And so we understand that our Father, our God, is the God of increase. Look with me at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When God created the earth, He did not create a dull, stagnant planet. It was teeming with life. It brought forth abundantly. You know, when you go out on a beautiful night like this, recently the moon was full, and you can look up in the sky and you can see all those stars and just think that our God brought that all about. Or you go down to the ocean on a beautiful spring day or summer day, Half Moon Bay or Monterey or wherever you are, and you look out at the vastness and the beauty that our Creator put in the earth, that's our God.
Yeah.
Everything that God breathed on, everything that He touches is created and destined to grow and to multiply and to increase. So it is the will of God for us to walk in freedom from lack. Whatever area of lack we may be lacking in, His abundant provision supplies. Look with me at Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, in verse 1, He says, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, or your family, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The requirement was first of all for Abram to move and to obey. And once Abram moved and obeyed, then God would show. Have you discovered that in your life?
Yeah.
Oftentimes the things of God are conditional upon our obedience. And He had something great in store for Abraham. And He said in verse 2, He said, I will make of thee a great nation. This is the year of the greater. Great glory, great presence. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. He can do that because He's a great God.
Amen.
And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and you will be a blessing. Listen, when God makes you great, when God's blessing is upon you, there is no lack. And when you know that the hand of the Lord is upon you, you can go out and be a blessing to others. The Amplified Version says it this way, I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Notice that phrase, abundant increase of favors. We're going to see that word abundant tonight and look at it. What kind of favors? An abundance of them. And not a decrease of favors. I've discovered that according to the book of Psalms, the favor of God is for a lifetime. There's more than enough favor and more than enough grace to last us throughout our life and beyond. And I will bless you. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And I will make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing. And you will dispense good to others. Amen.
Yeah.
The greatest blessing of the blessing that is up on our lives, I believe, is to be a blessing. Amen? Amen? Your words can bless people. Your actions can bless people. Your life can be a blessing to those all around you. Amen? Amen? Even people you don't know, just the way you carry yourself. When you walk in the presence of God, like we've been talking about all year, there's something that's tangible about your life. People may not know and understand what it is, but I'm telling you, when we walk into a place, we're atmosphere changers. And I don't care if you got your hat back on and you just got done working out, you carry with you the glory of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And a smile and a word just lifts people's spirits. Verse 11, he said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We are part of Abraham's blessing. We are blessed with him. Says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And then he works with him further in the book of Genesis. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your eyes, look out north, south, east, west. And he said, that's how many your descendants are going to be. God says, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. That does not sound like decrease or lack to me. And so God spoke to Abraham over and over and over again about increase before that increase was actually realized. I want to tell you tonight that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody says, well, I heard a message on increase last year. Faith does not come by having heard a message on increase last year. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't know about you, but I need to hear it all the time. Amen. And so we understand this, that you and I can be covenant increase minded. The first thing that God said concerning his man, Adam, he said to him, I give you dominion. Now go ahead and be fruitful and do what?
Multiply.
Increase. Increase. Jesus was ever increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Increase is the standard for God's covenant people. Look with me at Psalms 115. Let's notice that verse in verse 12 through 14. I am free and you are free from lack. Amen. Somebody says, well, I don't have two nickels to rub together. We're not talking about what you don't have in your pocket. What you're talking about is what you have in your heart. Amen. And as long as you have the truth in your heart, it won't be long before you have more than two nickels to rub together. Amen. Amen. Psalms 115 verse 12 says this, the Lord has been mindful of us. Thank God we're on his mind. He blesses us. He blesses the house of Israel. He blesses the house of Aaron. He blesses them that fear him, both small and great. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen. More and more. That's not being bottled up. That's not experiencing stagnation. When God says he's going to increase you more and more and more, he's not fooling around. He means what he says. Amen. And he backs up his word with actions. He watches over his word to perform it. And all he's looking for us is to believe it, receive it, speak it, act on it, and just act like we got good sense. Amen. Say it with me, the Lord is increasing me.
The Lord is increasing
more and more.
More and more.
Me and my kids. How about your grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
Should your grandkids be blessed?
Yeah.
Hey, when mama and papa are blessed and grammy and papa are blessed, glory to God, your grandkids ought to be blessed. Is that right or is that right? You know, the Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That means to your grandbabies. Are you a good man? Are you a good lady? Yes, you are. Now, here's what we want to look at. Look at John chapter 10. And notice with me in verse 10. John 10, St. John 10, verse 10. Increase more and more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, I was doing some reading the other day, and And I noticed this one CEO of this company made $180 million last year. And he also was given a bunch of stock options. Boy, I tell you what, a preacher makes $180 million, they'd get really mad. But you know, some scientists can make $180 million. Some chemists can make $180 million. They can give him or her stock options. I mean, because after all, you know, it's their just due. Well, I'm not up here professing that preachers ought to make $180 million. What I'm saying is this: God didn't put the silver and the gold just for a bunch of chemists.
No, amen.
He didn't put the silver and the gold and the jet airplanes just for a bunch of pimps.
No, amen.
Just to be clear about it. He didn't put Lear jets and whatever kind of jets there are. I don't fly jets, but I fly them commercially. But he didn't put them up there just for Jim Beam whiskey and Seagram 7. Amen. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And if it's his, it's yours. Somebody says, I wish you'd point a scripture to me and tell me that. Where does it say that? He says, all things Jesus said that the Father has are mine. And then he says, you're heirs of God and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. All things were made by him and for him. If they were made by him and for him, they're made for us. Because we're in him and he's in us. So, you know, thank God for that multimillionaire. You know what that tells me? There's more than enough money in the earth. There's more than enough money in the earth. So God doesn't want us to be all constricted. He doesn't want us to be all tight where prosperity is concerned. I believe that we're to open up our hearts to the blessing, and whatever God does in our life, he should be glorified in.
Amen.
All right. So you've got a covenant right to increase in the favor of God. Amen?
Yes.
Now look at John chapter 10, verse 10. First of all, we're going to look at it, the King James Version. And then we're going to look at the Amplified Version. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Think about that right there. Is that increase or is that decrease?
That's decrease.
He's the stealer. The devil never comes to bless somebody. If the devil's on the scene, you can mark it right down. He's coming not but for to steal and to kill and to do what?
Destroy.
And to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Everyone say, more abundantly. Now we get a better picture of it in the Amplified Version, so let's pull that up there. And let's notice that last part of that verse. In this specific verse, he says, I have come that they might have, not just have it, but enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Amen?
Yeah.
You might just well enjoy life.
Yeah.
You have life, now enjoy life.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, and have it, how? In abundance. And then he gives us a little clue of what abundance is. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he says, in abundance, read the next phrase, to the full. In abundance, to the full, until it overflows. Now, the context of John 10 is the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. What kind of a shepherd would he be if his sheep were all weak, lacking, disadvantaged, failures, emaciated, not able to cope in life? What kind of a reputation would the shepherd have then? Because the sheep are a reflection of the shepherd. Amen? I'm looking at a healthy bunch of sheep here tonight. I'm not looking at a bunch of beat up, weak, emaciated sheep. Amen? And the Bible talks about in Psalms 23 that if a sheep got away, what the good shepherd would do is he would rub that sheep's belly if they were, you know, lying on their back and falling down. And sometimes sheep do fall, but the shepherd would just go and rub that stomach of that sheep and speak words over it and then just lift it up and put it back on its feet.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So if you've been cast down, don't be discouraged. The good shepherd is here tonight. And he's here to lift you and he's here to bless you because he loves you. Amen?
Yeah.
Now notice with me this word abundantly, more abundantly. Now this word literally means surplusage. It means superabundance. It means beyond, more abundantly, beyond abundant. Strong's, who has a real good handle on the Greek. This is from Strong's dictionary. Strong says that word abundant means super abundant in quantity, superior in quality. Super abundant in quantity, superior in quality. By implication, Strong says, excessive.
Excessive. Amen. I like it.
Excessive.
Yeah.
I've come that you might have superabundant life in quantity and superior in quality, and that you may experience excessive blessing in your life. Amen?
Amen. Good.
So, excess is his plan. Not excess to the degree where it's wasted, but excess to the degree that we have more than enough for ourselves and it's just flowing out of us, that we're just a blessing everywhere we go. Amen? Now, in the Bible, you will see three phrases that demonstrate very clearly to us three levels concerning what I'm talking about tonight. First level is not enough. How many of you know that the children of Israel in Egypt did not have enough? Okay? And then they left Egypt, did they not? And they came forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble among their tribes. But there were some tests in the wilderness, and they groaned and complained, and they bellyached. We could say that the children of Israel in the wilderness had just enough. But thank God when they got over into the promised land, they had more than enough. More than enough. Think about your father just for a moment. Think about excess. Think about all of the things that are in this vast world that we live in. Let's just take bananas, for example. Did you know that there is an excessive amount of bananas in the earth? There are so many bananas on those trees that those bananas fall off those trees, that they can't gather them all to get to Lucky or to get to Safeway or to get to wherever they go. I mean, there's more than enough for every monkey that ever lived, breathed. And there's more than enough bananas for you and your monkeys at home. Coconut. Think about all of the excess. And yet, you get in the church sometimes, we're to be good stewards. What they're saying is tight and narrow and stingy. No, our God is a too much God. He's a too much God. Hallelujah. I don't believe that God wants us to be boring. He doesn't want us to be bland. He wants us to be full of color. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Amen. Some of you need to get yourself some flashy clothes and just show up to church. How about a little bling in Jesus' name?
Yeah.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Let's not get too excessive. We don't want to get too fiery.
Yeah.
You know, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, yes, every now and then we'll have a convocation on the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to get too fiery. Baloney. Excess on the day of Pentecost. I mean, they got so excessively full of the Holy Ghost that they went out in the street and they thought they were drunk and it was early in the day. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm abounding in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Overflow. overflow. Is he not the king of the flood?
Oh, yes, he is.
Woo, king of the flood. He's got more than enough. More than enough to flood you. More than enough to flood his whole body. He's the king of the flood. I'm going to do a study this weekend on the flood. The flood. There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. Excessive rain brings flood. Floods. There's a flood coming. Hallelujah. And the will of God is for you to be flooded. Flooded individually. Filled with all the fullness of God is being flooded. That you may have the richest measure of His divine presence, that you become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. There's more than enough rain, there's more than enough liquid of the Holy Spirit to flood you individually to overflow, but it's the will of God not just for a few individuals to be flooded, it's the will of God for a whole church to be flooded. And when the whole church gets serious about being flooded, you watch out. The king of the flood and overflow will just do awesome things. Well, there's my message right there. Hallelujah. Say it with me. He's the king of the flood. Amen. The rain brings the flood. Hallelujah. Flooded. Filled with all the fullness of God.
Hallelujah.
When he says that you might have the richest measure of His divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself, doesn't sound like to me that there's any lack of rain or any lack of water. You know, sometimes in California and other states, they worry about water and they put you sometimes on restrictions. There's no restrictions of water.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Everyone say excess.
Excess.
Let's look over at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Amen.
Amen.
So, wear Jesus well.
Yeah.
Amen. Wear Him well. Let Him shine through you. Amen. You don't have to try to be impressive. Just be that way. Just be a Jesus person. And you will be impressive. People say, wow, aren't you something? No, I'm not. You think I'm something? Hey, you ought to meet my shepherd. Look at Psalm 23. Notice with me in verse 1. Psalm 23. So we're free from lack, aren't we? Thank God we are. Psalm 23 and verse 1. This whole psalm is so good. I think we'll just look at it tonight and shout and run and dance and go home. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What?
I shall not.
The Lord is my shepherd. What?
I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want means there's no lack.
No lack.
I can hear Dad Hagen reading this. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm full of want. No, 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 no. No, thank God. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall not want for any good thing. Amen?
Amen?
Think in terms of the Lord being your everything, and He's all, your all in all, and everything that you need. Amen?
Amen.
Well, somebody says, I need a little joy. Well, the Lord is the Lord of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want for joy.
Amen.
Thank God. Isn't He the Prince of Peace?
Yes.
He is the Shepherd of Peace. Because the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want for what? I shall not want for peace. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I like that.
Yeah.
Peace and joy.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Now, what else is He? Well, He's our wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He is our wisdom. Let me quote it to you. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Amen. So we are in Christ, and Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. You see, because the Lord is my shepherd and He is my wisdom, I shall not want for wisdom. Thank God. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Thank God for being able to tap into His wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank God for His counsel that comes from the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Instead of talking about what you don't have and what you don't know and what you can't do, talk about what you do have.
Amen.
Who you do know,
yeah,
and what you can do.
Sure.
See? As long as I talk about what I don't have, I'll never rise above that. As long as I talk about what I can't do, I'll never rise above that. Okay? So if I am in a situation where I need to really have God's wisdom flowing in my life, and I start talking about how confused I am, and I'm just so nervous that I just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, what am I doing? I'm setting myself up for failure. And God's will is not failure. God's will is success. So we can just turn that right around, and instead of being negative about these things, turn it into a positive confession and saying, thank God, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. He is my wisdom. He's showing me exactly what to do. Amen.
Amen.
I have the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. So that means this, is we don't have to walk around confused. The Bible says that God's not the author of confusion, but He's the author of peace, as in all the churches. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not for wisdom, will not want for wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. Now notice with me in the same verse, He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now notice this, He's our shepherd, we are His sheep, right? We are His shepherd, we are His sheep. And notice what kind of pastures that He causes us to lie down in.
Green.
They are green. They are tender pastures. We could say it's lush, and we could say it's gourmet grass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sheep's paradise right there.
Yeah.
Gourmet grass. Really green and really lush. Woo! Glory to God. And notice, the shepherd leads us there. It's lush. It's a paradise. But what happens when you get so full? You just got to lie down.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Minnesota, and we drive up to Wisconsin all the time, and Wisconsin's dairy capital of the United States. And, you know, you look at some of those cows out there, man, they're just chomping and eating and chomping. After a while, they're just kind of laying there. Well, that's you and that's me. He makes us to lie down in those lush, those green pastures. Woo, glory. I get excited thinking about it. And notice with me, he lays us down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Quiet, clean, fresh waters. Hallelujah. He restores my soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, even though I might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. Why? Because He's with me. And so His rod and His staff, what do? They comfort us. So we see here there's restoration for us. Amen. There's protection for us. There's guidance for us because He's leading us. Notice verse 5. You prepare a table before me, right in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is doing what? It's running over. It's running over. Does that sound like more abundantly to you?
Yeah.
Or does that sound like lack to you? Does that sound like increase to you? Or does that sound like decrease? Does that sound like stagnation to you? Or does that sound like movement and momentum? Your cup's running over. It's a running over. Say it like that with me. It's a running over. Now let me read this to you from the Message translation. He says this. He says, God's my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find a quiet pool for me to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. You send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid because you're at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. And I like this. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head, and my cup brims with blessing. Verse 6. Your beauty and love, they chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, if anybody's going to live for God, it's going to be me.
All right.
It is an awesome deal, guys.
Yes, it is.
Woo, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But I want you to notice this with me. He says, my cup runs over. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. If your cup's running over, does that mean it's half full?
No.
No, it ain't half full. And I got another question for you. Doesn't God know when the cup is full? I would think that God would know when the cup is full. But for some reason, he just doesn't stop when it's full. He's the God of excess. He's the God of more abundantly. He's the God of more than enough. Superior in quality, excessive in every area. Glory to God. He's more than enough. Our cup's running over. Amen. What does that mean? If I had a cup here on this pulpit and I had an endless supply of water just flowing into that cup would get full and that water would start running over on the carpet. But God is running over on the carpet. God says, I don't care, I'm going to keep pouring. And he just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. If you poured long enough, it'd head out the door. God, it's going out the door. I don't care. I'm just going to keep pouring. I'm a God of excess. I want you to get water. And if he just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, it would go on the floor, out the door, right out into Hesperian Boulevard.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't he know when the cup's full? Yeah, he do, but he don't care. And he don't care. He does not care if you're rich. He does not care if you have oodles and tons of money. He doesn't care. As a matter of fact, he'd rather you have it than not have it. If you have it together. If you don't have it together, by that I mean money having you rather than you having money, he'd rather you not have it.
That's right.
Don't ask me to say that again. But if money have you, you'd be better off without it. Because whenever money have you, whenever money has you, it has your affection. It has your time. God won't bless somebody with a bunch of money because he knows as sure as they get blessed, they'll head to the Bahamas, miss out on church, stop serving God, and sit by a pool with a little drink with an umbrella on it. Nothing wrong with the Bahamas now. Amen. Nothing wrong with Hawaii. But it shouldn't have our affection.
Yeah.
Don't let anything in this world have you. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen? I'd rather have him than anything. And we're not serving him to get some things. We have him and love him. And the difference is he adds to us. We don't go running after it. It runs after us.
That's right. Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Does that sound all right to you?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. He says, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He said, if you're faithful, I will cause the blessings of God abounding toward you. Now, here's what the problem has been, is people's priorities have been way out of whack. They've taken part of the message that you preach, part of the message that certain people preach, and they just take the part with the ice cream and the candy. Amen. And so, that's not the case in this place. That's not the case in this house. In this house, our priorities are in alignment with the will and with the plan of God. Say it with me. Good measure.
Good
pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Didn't he say in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you keep my commandments and you do all the things that I've commanded you to do, he says that all these blessings shall come upon you and do what?
Overtake.
They will overtake you. You won't have to overtake them. They will overtake
That's
you.
Right.
If I've seen it once, I've seen it hundreds of times. I have seen some people with their priorities just so awesomely right and their hearts so right before God. I've just seen God open up windows of heaven for them and just pour out blessings upon their lives that there was hardly enough room to contain it. God blesses people because he's a blessing God. Amen. Now let's close in 2 Corinthians chapter, is it 8 or chapter 9? We'll find out when we get there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And if it's wrong, we'll go to 9:8. Somebody says, Pastor, you make mistakes? Oh, yes. It's 9:8. Thank you, PT. PT knows where I'm going. He's been around here long enough. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. So say it with me, I am free. I'm free from lack. If you will take your not enough and put it as a seed into the hands of him who is more than enough, he will multiply your seed sown and he will cause his miracle of multiplication to happen in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, this is good food right here. Here's that word abound again. Read it with me in verse 8. It says, God is able to make what?
All
what
grace.
Kind of grace?
All
grace. Do what?
Abound
to you in abundance, so that you always have an all sufficiency in all things. May do what? So that you may abound to every good work. Doesn't it sound to me like Paul basically is rehearsing what God said to Abram? He said, I'm going to bless you. And he says, and you're going to be a blessing. And you're going to dispense good to others.
Amen.
Now listen, dear friends, you being in church tonight is a good thing. You serving God in the house of God or in the house of his choosing, wherever that might be, it might be here at Heart of the Bay or Faith Fellowship or Jubilee or another church, but you serving God is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But not only is it a good thing, it's a God thing.
Yeah.
And it is a God thing because it is what God is doing in the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
God is moving strong through his word and by his spirit in local churches. And he's building them up.
Amen.
And so you bringing your supply, you wouldn't have anything to give in relationship to a supply of service if God didn't bless you. Every one of you are blessed. And I think what we need to do is we need to adopt the mindset that serving in the church is a blessing. It's a blessing. The pastor and the staff should not have to stand up here and really recruit workers. It should be something that is on the inside of every born-again believer. I am born to serve. I am born to be a blessing. I'm born to roll up my sleeves and to do what my hand finds to do in the house of God. We have been saved to serve. Saved to serve. Every one of us. In whatever capacity it is. Whether you have a position, whether you have a title, whether you have a post, whether you're a prayer, whatever you do, you're saved to bring your supply.
Right.
We could say it this way, you are born to be a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Born to be a blessing.
Amen.
I am born, I am doing right now what I've been born to do.
That's right.
From before the foundation of the world, God put this on the inside of me. And by his grace, I'm doing it dispensing good to others mm-hmm. by what I'm doing.
Amen. Right.
But you do not have to be here to be a dispenser of good.
That's right.
We're all dispensers of God.
Amen.
So get your sleeves rolled up. Put your shoulders back. Say, this is God's house. How there's a little dirt on the floor. Let's pick that up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's needs over there in the children's area. Let's do that. Don't wait for a vision. Don't wait for a burning bush. Just move in the blessing. And the blessing will flow through you. And you will be a blessing. And listen. You talk about God doing some awesome things for you. It just happens. He just does it. Because he knows that you're one of his go-to guys. He knows that you're one of his go-to girls. Who is God going to entrust in these last days with abundance? Who's he going to trust with an abundance of anointing? Who's he going to give new songs to? Who's he going to give witty inventions to? Who's he going to move heaven to earth and put things in your hands to? He's going to do those for the people who have been faithful. Amen. People just like you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody in this room. He's going to cause the faithful to abound with blessings because he knows he can entrust them with it. Why? Because they've been tried and they've been proven. Because they have been faithful with little. Come on. They've been faithful to be on time. They've been faithful not to grumble or to groan and complain. They've been faithful. And God knows that. And he takes notice of that. And he goes, I got something good in store for them. Let's stand up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe it? I believe it all day long. Amen. Hallelujah. New songs, PT. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just say this with your hand over your heart and say, oh God, I open up my heart afresh and anew for the King of Glory to come in and to do in me and through me all he desires to do. I will be found faithful.
I shall be faithful.
Faithful in that which is little. And so I receive everything and anything you have for me. For I have reserved my best for you. That's what the Lord is saying. That just came right out of my spirit. I've reserved my best for you. There are things that are good. There are things that are better than good. And then there is my best.
Yes.
My best is yours. My best in your relationships. My best for your future. Oh, Jesus. There is a reservation that awaits you. And this reservation is my very best for you in so many areas of your life. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hand right now and thank Him. My best. Ha ha soporokedeshte. Elamolopo latiste. Yeah, that's it, Lord. I thank you for that. Now domo sekedea. Now don't you dare settle for second best. Don't settle for second best. Hallelujah. Now you could take that a number of ways. You could talk about that in the area of relationships, in a lot of different areas. But whatever fits for you, you receive that. You say, I receive it, Lord.
I receive it,
Lord. Hallelujah. It could be an opportunity, it could be a job, it could be a girlfriend, it could be a boyfriend. I don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. Has He reserved the best?
Yes.
Has He reserved the best, Barry?
Yes, sir.
For the last days?
Glory, yes.
Heaven's best.
Yes.
Heaven's best.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Heaven's best.
Yes.
Heaven's best.
Yes.
And I sense the Spirit saying, and not just when you get there. But heaven's best here in the now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reserved
glory
for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for it. I just trust you, Lord, to take that word that came out tonight and just minister it to your people, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just filler, filling up the end of a service.
No, no.
But Lord, you spoke to us. That there is a good, there's a better, but then there's a best. Oh, yeah. Our response is, Lord, I want your best. Yeah, I want your best. Yeah, I want your best. Yeah, I want your best, Lord. Your best. Yes, Samotea. Yeah. The best. The best education. The best person. The best job. For you. For you. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Brenda Thomas was the best for me. Amen. The best. Not just good, but the best. God's got the best for you. Amen. Let me pray with you as we go tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, so be it unto us according to your word tonight. We seal it with faith. We believe it. We receive it. We walk out of this place knowing that we're free from lack and that we are increasing, flowing in your best in Jesus' name.